Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Frat House Sports Show. And now, for this week's completely different and often humorous take on everything sports, here are Frat House Mike, Uncle Mark, and Sidekick.
Welcome back to the 160th episode edition of the Frat House Sports Show. We haven't done one of these in a little while. Sidekick there, Frat House, Uncle Mark, rather, coming to you via Skype.
Yep.
And we haven't done one like this in a while. It's been a couple of weeks. It's been about 4 weeks or so. We've had the radio network on live on Thursday evenings for the past three programs. This program you're going to hear actually in that same time slot, Thursday evening, on Blog Talk Radio over
Quiet,
on
numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Radio Network. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear this one tomorrow evening. We're taping it a day early. We haven't done one like this in a while. We were worried we had perhaps forgotten how to do it. I don't think that that's even possible with as many as we've got in the can, huh? But don't forget.
I can do this in my sleep.
Don't forget, we did roll out 3 weeks ago our radio network. Yes, Saturday or Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. There's our call-in number, 347-826-9964. Is how you can reach us live on the air at Blog Talk Radio. We've got a whole bevy of programs that we roll out. Frat House Saturdays. On Saturday, we got the Race Trim Motorsports Hour on Sundays. And then Tuesday evenings, great program. We've got the Red Zone Blitz, wrapping up everything from the NFL weekend.
And we know you're listening. We can see the stats. What we need you to do, though, is call in. You know, that's the whole reason we went with the radio so that, you know, we can have people call in and we can actually interact and, you know, talk about
and debate stuff.
And,
that's what this media that we've been doing for over 3 years had been missing. And that was the one thing that we were really, and we know what'll happen. It's just, but don't be shy. We're not going to put your head off. All right. We're going to try to keep this one to a little bit shorter length. We've gotten used to our kind of almost 2 hours that we pull over on Thursday nights over on Blog Talk Radio. But we're going to try to keep this one down to about an hour. And what we want to do is jump into our big story for this week. And I felt it was important that we kind of bring it up because, gosh, we've seen so much nonsense going on with folks in the NFL with not only this type of offense but other types of things going on in the sports world. But I got to say right now, it certainly appears that something isn't quite right with the most decorated U.S. Olympian in history, Michael Phelps. You might remember that Phelps has won 22 Olympic medals, 18 of them gold. No other U.S. Olympian has ever come near that mark. The other night, Phelps was stopped by Maryland police as he was clocked driving erratically at 85 miles an hour, 40 miles over the speed limit. Following a series of field sobriety tests, Phelps was taken into custody and charged with DUI. Now, this is not Phelps' first encounter. In 2004, he was charged similarly and ended with serving 18 months probation. In 2009, a photo, which I just saw, I had not seen it before, surfaced, I guess it's resurfacing again, of Phelps with a marijuana pipe. Yes, quite a pipe. That's no pipe. That was a...
It's like I picked the wrong
ball. That's no pipe. At a party, he was suspended from competition for 3 months by USA Swimming, but there was never any charge against him. Phelps had retired from swimming in 2012, but recently returned, saying, quote, "It's good to have some structure back in my life. That's how I've always been. That's something I need." Yes, I'm not used to papers. Being able to do this on the radio, I don't need to flip papers. Yesterday afternoon, Phelps tweeted out a short apology to fans and followers. Quote, "Earlier this morning, I was arrested and charged with DUI, excessive speeding, and crossing double lane lines. I understand the severity of my actions and take full responsibility. I know these words may not mean much right now, but I am deeply sorry to everyone I have let down. That was very, very heartfelt, particularly coming on Twitter.
140 characters.
Yeah, exactly. Very, yeah. Nice touch. Classy. However, it's been reported this morning that just prior to getting behind the wheel, Phelps spent 8 straight hours playing blackjack and drinking heavily at the Horseshoe Casino in Baltimore.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
Yeah, I guess he did. Leaving there at 1 a.m. and being pulled over at 1:40. Ironically, I had to put this one in there. Former teammate Ryan Lochte, known for his gaffes, was quoted as saying, quote, "I'm not concerned." I guess not. Ryan probably was with him. He just makes dumb decisions. Oh, look who's calling the kettle black. He has so much money to get
there
a driver.
There seems to be no sign of intelligence.
Really,
anyway.
I even have a driver. I guess so. You need one. Just stinks for the sport of swimming. Oh, suddenly Ryan's worried about the sport of swimming. Thanks, Ryan. That's about as sincere as the Twitter apology. I bet, but
maybe he should have swam across.
Oh, dear God. While I'm making light of it in some respects, I'm going to say this. It's kind of a sad situation, and frankly, it would appear to me that Phelps is somebody, as he's pointing out, he needs to get back to swimming in order to provide himself some structure. This is obviously a guy that still, I don't know, somehow or another, hasn't grown up into the real world. And maybe, just maybe, he needs a little bit of professional advice and guidance here at this point right now.
Well, but okay. I understand your thing about, you know, maturity and everything else, but remember, he's still a kid. He's 24.
Yeah, but
yes, you would think that he's got a lot of worldly experience. Exactly, but at the same time, though, you know, he's 24. You know, you think he's been around? You know, we've heard his name.
Olympics, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, you would think that he's like in his 30s or the kid. He's 24. Yeah. You know, he was 19 when he got the first DUI.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But nonetheless, he is, you know, obviously, you know, he's 29? I thought he was 19 when.
Oh, I don't know how. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, then grow up. Hell yeah. You jack wagon. Crying out loud.
Oh, my God. Come back and see
now. I miss video. I really do.
Born on this earth, June 30, 1985.
Get some facts and come back and see me. Let's move on to the next story.
Stick to swimming across channels. Don't drive across them.
Actually, he drove under it.
Oh, my goodness.
He was going through the tunnel.
Yeah, that's right, he was.
In Baltimore.
There was a lot of anticipation for Michigan Wolverines fans. I'm one of them. As they entered the fourth year of
video
program, not really, program rebuilding under Big Ten head coach Brady Hoke. Well, it hasn't exactly gone to script. Looking at the ease of the early season schedule, many thought that the Wolverines could be 5-0 at this moment. Instead, they sit at 2-3. After dropping very winnable games against Notre Dame, we haven't played Wisconsin yet. Notre Dame, the Utah Utes, and their Big Ten rival Minnesota Golden Gophers. That's who you were thinking of.
Yes.
The Heat has already turned up on Hoke going into Saturday's game. Which, as I just pointed out, was a 30-14 loss to the Gophers. But that got amped up to broil following the game. The game was navigated, not well, I might add, by backup quarterback Shane Morris. However, it was in the fourth quarter, with Michigan down 23 points, that Morris took a wicked hit which had him getting up off the field very slowly and again hobbled on his left leg. After the play, ESPN cameras focused their attention on Morris, who could barely put any weight on his left leg and was clearly grimacing in pain. Even ESPN color commentator Ed Cunningham suggested that Morris should be pulled from the game because it was the third time Morris was seen favoring his left leg, and his limited mobility left him vulnerable to further injury. Hoke did not remove Morris. Three plays later, he took a dirty and ejectionable helmet-to-helmet hit from a Minnesota defensive end that obviously left Morris clearly wobbled, and you could see him trying to prop his head up on teammate Ben Braden's right arm just to try to remain upright. Braden recognized this and used both arms to try to catch him and keep him stable as they moved off the field. It certainly appeared that Morris had sustained a concussion. In the post-game press conference, however, Hoke was asked whether Morris had a concussion. His comment was, quote, "Well, I don't know. I don't know if he might have had a concussion or not. I don't know that. Shane's a pretty competitive, tough kid. Shane wanted to be the quarterback. So believe me, if he didn't want to be, he would have come to the sideline. He would have come to the sideline or stayed down." It got worse. Devin Gardner was inserted into the game while Morris attempted to clear the cobwebs the first time, but Gardner had to leave the game after three plays after his helmet was ripped off his head. Enter third-string quarterback Russell Bellamy. Nope. Hoke put Morris back in the game. Even the umpire was stunned to see Morris return so quickly and apparently communicated with Hoke whether he wanted to take a timeout. Hoke declined. The controversy this has generated in the past few days has spread even to the athletic director, Dave Brandon. Nearly everyone is calling for Hoke and Brandon to be removed immediately. Questions have arisen again about Hoke's philosophy of not wearing a headset during game time. Many feel his firm decision against it impedes Hoke's ability to communicate with other coaches. That with better communication, Morris probably would have never been placed back in the game. While it is unconscionable in today's sports environment, with everything we know right now about concussions and head trauma, that a young player be placed into a position of further injury, I do find myself asking the question, if the Wolverines were 5-0, or even 4-1, would there be quite the uproar we're seeing right now going on at the Big House this week? Now, Sidekick, I want to jump over to you because you're kind of I've pointed so many times. You've done a lot of research on concussions.
Mm-hmm.
In this completely inappropriate behavior here.
Not completely. I read through some stuff. At first I looked at it and I'm like, oh, here's Mike. He's going to,
I'm going to
my Wolverines, But as I looked into the stories a little bit more, and that I have no idea why this guy has not been fired.
Yeah.
Why the NCAA isn't looking into this, or why anybody else is, like, all over this guy. I'm sure if this had gotten a little bit more media attention, because I even went scouring my Facebook news feed, because there's several people that I follow who are doing research in concussion prevention and things like that, and have come up with machines and stuff, and these are the guys I've kind of relied on getting information about concussions in general, and I didn't see any of them posting anything about it, and I don't know if it just hasn't made it to them or not, but like I said, both the AD and the coach to be fired. I mean, this is, it's apples and oranges, but this is on the level of what we saw at Penn State a couple of years ago.
I almost agree.
Not from the actual incident. Incompetence of the athletic department and the coaching staff. And I'm not even placing it just on Hoke, because while he may not wear a headset, there's coaches on that sideline. None of those coaches. I sat there and watched the footage. No coaches
stepped up and said anything.
There was no, the cameras spent tons of time
on the QB.
On Morris.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anybody administering any kind of, you know, concussion tests or anything. And then to go and trot him back out there, you know, when Gardner went down, they had the option. They could take a timeout.
Yep.
Or they could put another quarterback.
Bring in
the quarterback has to come out for a series.
Right.
And then he can go back in because he lost his helmet. And then the Wolverines had the option of, at the time, they had two timeouts. They could take a timeout or they could put the... We don't put the third-string guy in? No, we're going to put the concussed guy back in.
Well, and what didn't make any sense, too, was, and I saw the game live because I watch Michigan games every week live, and I'm watching and I'm seeing Morris come off. Now, this is the second time he's coming off because, remember, as was reported here, he's coming off the first time with the wobbly leg, and I'm thinking then, boy, this is not looking good. Why don't we just get Gardner back in there? Gardner's more comfortable with the position anyhow. He's been back there under center for most of last year and for four games so far this year. Just get him back in the game and leave it alone. And I'm watching it live, and I'm going, you got to remember, Minnesota was down by so much at this point, it really made little difference which quarterback you were putting in.
Exactly. And with what we know about CTE and all this stuff, why would you potentially risk harming a kid like that?
Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry. Yep. This guy needs to be, you know, Hope needs to be gone like yesterday.
Yep.
You know, and people, you know, from the NCAA level and stuff need to start looking into this whole thing. You know what I mean? Because there's no reason for that stuff.
Some might take exception to your comparison of it to PSU, Penn State.
Let me say this.
Where I see that the comparison is in the aftermath, in the day's aftermath to this, what has occurred. Monday there was a press conference with Hoke. He had contradictory statements. Today he had press conference with the media, and he was nailed repeatedly by the media for contradictions that he made today versus what he said on Monday. The problem here at this point right now is there appears to be some sort of a, I don't want to say cover-up, but somebody's not talking. Brandon won't come out. He apparently is a guy that loves the media, and he has yet to make any public statement whatsoever or come out publicly in any way whatsoever. Some are actually thinking that right now at this point Michigan is hanging Brady Hoke up to dry. I disagree with them. I'm in absolute 100% agreement with you, Psychic, as much as it is my team. As much as I felt when it all started unraveling on Sunday even, I thought to myself, oh, come on, this is just, people are going after Brady Hoke. That's what they're doing. This is a way to get him out. This is a witch hunt to beat this up because we don't want the guy in there. We want to get Jim Harbaugh in there. Or, you know, and my thinking, as I've read it and it's going on, is your own. I think what happened here was unconscionable.
Absolutely
unconscionable.
As I started reading into this, my dander got all up. You know, and here's where I, to clarify, where I'm coming from the standpoint of, it's our favorite. It basically comes down to our favorite word. It's culture.
Yeah.
It's Wolverine culture.
You've got this.
You know, head coach who's a former Wolverine quarterback, I believe. You know, and all these articles smack of culture. Even the guy that started the online petition that has some crazy number of 6,000 signatures on it, you know, in his statements he talks about culture, and I'm reading it going, dude, really?
Mm-hmm.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid just like everybody else is. But then he does make some valid points about Hoke coming out, you know, being fired but his angle is it's detrimental to the culture. Dude, come on. All the statements about, you know, the athletic department is supposed to highlight us so that people look at us and look at our academics. No, that culture needs to end.
Yeah.
Didn't anybody learn anything from Penn State?
Yeah.
about this whole football athletic department culture and big money sports that, you know, it just stinks.
Yep. Well, Uncle Mark, have you read anything on this one?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what I think about this. First of all, change Brady Hoke's name to any coach. That's number one. And now we level everything down to where it should be. I mean, to cross parallel NASCAR, change Tony Stewart to any name in NASCAR in what he's been through. And I think you get a sense of where I'm coming at with this argument. The situation in Michigan is not about Brady Hoke and what he did wrong, what he did right, and I find it abhorrent, although it was not quoted, it is available online, to see him say to a reporter, oh, was he concussed? Gee, I don't know. Was he put through protocol? Gee, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I suspect he was. And all at once, now Brady Hoke by name becomes the target, but Brady Hoke should be placed in quotes of any coach, period. Here's where this goes, in my view. This goes to lawsuits that are going to continue to tsunami NCAA for care, responsible financial care of its student athletes for its own promotion. End of story.
Yep. Yep.
Well, you know, it's funny. The NFL has a protocol. Does the NCAA have it?
Yes.
Okay.
They have guidelines, Brandon.
They basically
and you don't have to live by the quote guideline.
Yeah, right.
You put him back out there.
Yeah.
Like in the NFL. The NFL, it's mandated. You take a headshot.
You come. As we saw with Shady McCoy, that the helmet was taken from him.
Until they cleared.
Right.
Yep.
Now, that was one of the questions that was brought up, because minutes upon minutes after Morris is off the field, he is surrounded by two coaches, assuming maybe one's a trainer or somebody like that. The question was asked, why is Morris's helmet still on?
Mm-hmm.
As he is conversing with them or attempting to, there is obviously some sort of communication going on. The question was, why is Morris's helmet still on? Because that is a violation technically of the protocol. So, I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm a Michigan fan. This one would not surprise me in the least if Oak were to be removed. I'm concerned. I'm going to be honest with you. If he's going to be, I think it has to be before Saturday's game. That's my personal opinion. Because if he gets through Saturday's game and it's after the fact, then a lot of the dust is going to settle and it's going to be a little bit of a kind of an after the fact thing. But
it's going to lose
some of its steam. All right, but it's a tough situation, and it was an unfortunate situation. It really is, and it was an unfortunate one to actually watch live on television. let's get over to one more, really, and not a big story, but big enough that, I mean, look, nicely enough, we haven't had a major news story. Not like the past couple of weeks, where it seemed like all we could do was talk about Roger Goodell and all the nonsense going on in the NFL. But here's another nonsensical NFL story, except it comes from the Oakland Raiders, so it's just normal operating procedure for them.
I was going to say.
In a somewhat unusual move, except for any other team but Oakland, the Raiders fired head coach Dennis Allen after going 0-4 to open this season and losing to the Miami Dolphins in London, England, 38-14. On Sunday. In just over two seasons, Allen had a 8-28 record for the Raiders. Tony Soprano. Yeah, thank you.
I've been making Soprano jokes all week.
God, I love video.
Forget about it.
They had a hit out on Allen.
I just knew that one.
All right. Well, Tony there, he's recently been made the head coach for the interim head coach for for the Raiders. You might remember he was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins most recently. While I wasn't surprised, and some of you might here might recall that I even actually had brought Allen's name up as one of our hot seat coaches during our roundtable back in July, many are claiming that, look, let's get this one straight. You really can't lay the blame for this at Allen's feet, and one would think that's the case. Really, I mean, the general manager over there doesn't get high grades, if I'm not mistaken.
That has one of the least talented rosters in the NFL.
But there you go. There's, you know, you don't see it too often.
And, I mean, come on. Really? This guy owned your team?
All right, once again, I'm going to throw something in. I think I need to throw something in that we're maybe missing sight of, and that is this team is not going to stay in Oakland. This team is bound for San Antonio, and what we have right now is the making of it. The team is not viable financially. It is unstable in every way, and San Antonio is ready to embrace this team from Oakland, a group, a fan base, which is historied. I don't take it away from them, but for at least the last 10 years has been a joke in the league. This team is going south, and I mean literally.
Yeah, see, this is not one we usually bring up on our Red Zone Blitz program because we like to keep that one to X's and O's, but I don't know. It just seems to me that to have that happen, and we've talked about it before, you got to get past Jerry Jones there in Dallas. And I would think the Houston Texans are going to have something to say about it as well.
Jerry Jones is going to torpedo himself, in my view, Brad House, Mike. I think that's a matter of time. This is no different than the Clippers. He's about to go down on his own pistol. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen with Oakland. Oakland is...
Well, I might not disagree with you completely. I just don't know whether San Antonio is going to be the place. I mean, I know that there's a lot of groundswell for it, but I just don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, it just seems to me that there's a lot of interests out there that are going to find a way, or at least express their way, to whoever the commissioner's office might be, to see if they can get that one.
Well, we'll see. But as sidekick, I think the Rams are going to L.A., so that kind of nullifies that as an option. So where else are you going?
All right, let's
I don't know.
Move it on because we're right on time. I'm watching the big clock. I love this. We got the big clock owner here. We're right on time.
Away from your computer? That's no problem. Take CLW83 Podcast with you wherever you go with the TuneIn Radio app. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store or Google Play. Then search for CLW83 to connect to the latest editions of the NAWC, Touch 'Em All, The BS Big Show, and all of your other favorite CLW83 programs. CLW83, online, on demand, and on the go with the TuneIn app for Apple and Android devices. Download it today.
You are listening to the audio version of our video production of the Frat House Sports Show number 160, which you can see shortly over at our Frat House Sports YouTube channel, along with over 200 other videos we produced in the past 3 years. If anyone out there would like to give us a ring, give us a holler, I'll be here with you for a couple of seconds, 347-826-9964. Anyone listening, anything you've heard up to this point, before I bring you the second half of our program, I'm here to take your calls, 347-826-9964. We have a baseball game going on this evening We've got the American League Divisional Series Game 1 going on right now between the Baltimore Orioles and the Detroit Tigers. That game is going on down in Baltimore. God, what a beautiful ballpark that is. I'm waiting to see what the updated score is. Of course, just at the moment that I would like to do that, they are in a television break, wouldn't you know it. And then later on this evening, we have the second of the American League games. That will be taking place at 9 o'clock, and that will be the Kansas City Royals taking on the Yeah, here I am. I'm sitting. I'm trying to wing this one, folks, and I just failed. Anyhow, it's going to be the Kansas City Royals and the winner of the AL West. Well, LA Angels. Yes, the Los Angeles Angels. So that'll be coming to you at 9 p.m. over on TBS. Anyhow, 347-826-9964 if anybody wants to jump in on anything you've heard up to this point. We talked a little bit of Michigan. The problems going on over there, and they continued to swirl around again today. Apparently, the athletic director has come out and indicated he has absolutely no intention of resigning, and there is absolutely no intention of firing Brady Hoke. So the situation just continues to kind of get media attention, and, well, certainly we gave it a lot of attention when we posted our program last evening and taped it. Let me see if I can get you a score here on this Major League Baseball game. I know that the last time I checked it, the Baltimore Orioles were winning 3-2. Like I said, that game is being played, and it is. It is 3-2 right now in the top of the sixth. Thank you, Yahoo. All right, let me take you to the second half of our Frat House Sports Show, number 160. Get this in mind, folks, that all of these programs that you're hearing right now, or at least the video versions, and we have every intention of continuing to do a video version at least once a month. And last night was the night that we did our one for this month. We're going to be coming back at the end of the month and doing one more. But all of these, and this is the way that we used to conduct our weekly Frat House Sports programs, can all be found over at our YouTube channel. Go over to YouTube and locate our Frat House Sports. Go to Frat House Sports, find our channel, and give that a like. And then you can go back and look at 3 years worth of videos. We have well over 225 videos over there. Let me bring to you right now the second half of our Frat House Sports Show, number 160. No point in changing gears. We're going to stick with our NFL and stick with our NFL report for week 5, brought to you by our friends Carl and Jim over at CLW83.com. All right, please make sure you get over there and check out all of their programming. I know they're going hot and heavy with the BS Big Show right now as they're in season, swinging full-time in season. And Jim, I know, is going every week right now with the Touch and Walk program as they're in the playoffs in Major League Baseball. And I know that we're trying to run a slightly shorter format here, gentlemen, but I think we've got about 4 minutes, don't we?
And now, 4 minutes of football.
Alrighty now, while it appears that the Kansas City Chiefs certainly had the New England Patriots at number Monday night, 41-14, in fact, the Chiefs may have had a bit of help from, one from above. In fact, that's probably what Chief Safety Hussein Abdul thought when he picked off Tom Brady and ran it in for a pick six. Abdullah slid through the end zone and went to his knees in prayer. Abdul was also penalized for his post-TD quote-unquote celebration. However, the NFL has indicated that, in fact, he should not have been flagged. NFL VP of Football Communications Michael Signora stated that, quote, officiating mechanic is not to flag a person who goes to the ground for religious reasons.
I'm offended.
What?
I'm offended.
According to CBS Sports, quote, there is an exception, albeit an unwritten one, that doesn't penalize players for going to the ground and praying in celebration. Personally, if we're going to be consistent about post-score celebrations I don't think we need any of it. I don't care what affiliation you are. That's my personal opinion. All right? The whole T-Bowing thing, all that, uh-uh, none of it. I don't want any of it. We don't. If we're going to be consistent, then be consistent.
Oh, come on. Bring back the bob and weave.
The icky shuffle.
The icky shuffle.
That was awesome.
All right, amidst the controversial mess swirling around the big house in Michigan, a Hoke replacement name that keeps coming up is former Wolverine quarterback and current 49ers head coach Jim Harbaugh. Well, who's kind of been wrapped in a lot of swirling controversy himself since the beginning of the season about locker room discord. NFL analyst Deion Sanders, well, he jumped into the fray the other day, referring to the internal environment of the team as toxic, and claimed that numerous unnamed players want Harbaugh removed. I got to be honest, it was almost uncomfortable watching Harbaugh take more questions during his Monday press conference about his job security versus his team's 26-21 win over the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. Simply put, though, Harbaugh stated, quote, "Personally, I think that's a bunch of crap. If I've got a good story to tell, I'd want to put my name to it. So I don't put a whole lot of credibility to the unnamed source." Personally, I'm going to be honest with you, I got a problem with Deion Sanders even bringing it up at all. I think, when you do that sort of thing, all you're doing is just trying to fan the flame and create a story that where there might not be one.
Well, I've got a problem with all these former NFL player analysts who are trying to drum up stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just
make
for,
a name for yourself.
Just for, just report.
Just do
on
what
it.
You're supposed
you're,
to do.
You know,
an analyst. X's and O's.
Not to all mention, right. Also, while we're, I agree with Jim Harbaugh's statement about, you know, if you really got a problem, own up to it and say, "Hey, I got a problem." Put your name to it.
Exactly.
Oh, no, it's, I don't want to get in trouble.
All right, as has been discussed right here numerous times at Frat House Sports, yesterday the Federal Communications Commission unanimously voted to eliminate the sports blackout rules. And so the regulation requiring a high percentage of tickets sold 72 hours prior to an event that we've all gone on and had to live with at times, all of us have been affected by it one way or another, I'm going to bet right now in all of our markets, at some point or another in the past 40 years, well, that reg is gone. Done. Right? Well, not so fast.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
It seems the NFL still has its own private blackout rules in place with broadcasters like Fox and CBS. And those may still prevent fans from watching local games when tickets remain at the box office. Now, the FCC is hoping that by backing away and not allowing the NFL to hide behind the FCC regs, it'll place more pressure on the league to lift their own restrictions. Good for the FCC.
Yes.
They're actually not letting the NFL make them the whipping boy. That's exactly what they did by doing it. So.
Now, but real quick, I know we're out of time, but on the heels of that, today they announced that DirecTV has signed a $12 billion 8-year extension with the NFL for the Sunday ticket. $1.5 billion a year over the next 8 years.
Wow.
For the nonprofit NFL.
Yeah, a quick thought.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I got a quick thought. I mean, the FCC is doing exactly what they need to do right now to chip away at two issues they consider weak link in the armor of the NFL, and that is attack on women, which apparently has gone, you know, unreported, and now we're bringing that in, and blackout rules. And I think Sidekick hit it. Really, that's the issue, that this whole nonprofit thing is going to become a source of contention until Goodell leaves, and that is why I contend Goodell is lame duck. We will see a new commissioner this time next year.
Yeah, because I've seen stories over the past couple of days where you've got the U.S. government, I can't remember if it was Congress or Senate or
but they're starting to look into the nonprofit status of the NFL.
There we go.
Yep.
They rattle that saber every time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you.
It's going to happen. At this point, we've seen too much misbehavior.
You know,
with a blind eye or a wink and a nod, this is going to go viral, or we're going to change things. And those guys are billionaires. They can all change things and make this go. And that's what's going to happen.
All right. Well, let's get to everybody's favorite. We'll lighten the mood. Let's get to everybody's favorite. Let's get to our picks of the week for this week as we go into week 5. Game 1. Let's take a look at the Chicago Bears, the 2-2 Chicago Bears, who are going to be at the 2-2 Carolina Panthers, and that's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Now, it was the mediocre Jay Cutler that showed up against the Green Bay Packers last week. You know the one. The one that...
Your favorite.
Yeah, it's the one that, you know, you can get a few touchdowns from him, but at the same time, he's throwing up interceptions. The one that's kind of serviceable, but at the same time looks completely uninspired and like he doesn't really want to be there. Subsequently, though, the Bears lost to the Packers under the mediocre Jay Cutler, 38-17, in a game where they didn't score a single point in the second half. Matt Forte had 122 yards in a okay game. But
it wasn't strictly pedestrian?
Yeah, Matt's never strictly pedestrian. Come on. That's reserved for Jay Cutler. Matt Forte currently ranked 8th in the league in rushing, averaging just a bit over 60 yards a game. Meanwhile, the Panthers lost to the Ravens down in Baltimore, 38-10. And I've got to say that I've really not been terribly impressed with Superman Cam Newton, who appears through 4 games. He's still hobbling with that ankle injury. Newton right now currently ranked 24th in the league, is scheduled to start after leaving the game last week for backup Derek Anderson. Now, you've got a hobbled Newton, and you got D'Angelo Williams with a cast on his sprained ankle and looking highly unlikely for any kind of service this weekend. Yet at this moment right now, the Panthers are still a 2.5-point favorite. I'm going to kick it off with you, Sidekick. Where are we going?
I don't know. This may be a snooze fest.
Could be. You're right.
Between the mediocre bowl we got going on here, I'm going to go with the Panthers on this one since they're the home team. You know, it's probably going to be close because neither offense is going to get going.
might be a good point. Uncle Mark?
Yeah. All right, here's what I'm going to tell you. Are you ready? Wake up. Here it comes. All time, these two teams have only met 8 times. One of those was a playoff. Go figure. What are the odds of that? In the 3 losses that Chicago has suffered against this team, 2 were at Carolina. Well, where are they going? They're going down to Carolina. But on the other hand, I'll give it to you. This season, the Bears are perfect on the road. They beat the Niners. They beat the Jets. Okay, fine. Their losses really have been at home. Buffalo to open it, and last week against the Pack, and they got annihilated. On the other side, the Panthers are 2-2. They've got a win at home versus Detroit, and I'll tell you what, that's looking a lot bigger right now because Detroit is 3-1. The Bears' secondary is banged up. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers exploited that last week, and the Panthers don't have their running quarterback Cam Newton. So you know what they're going to do? They're going to go to the air. They're not going to go to the run. And I give it to the defense on the Panthers side. Panthers are going to win this by the line. Yep.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up though, Mark, because what are the Panthers lacking in? That they've traded
their
away.
Running back, dude.
The wide receiver
game. They got no.
Or shot up, yeah. But yeah, they've done a number of the past couple of years of getting rid of any viable.
All right. Well,
even their quarterback can't run now.
Well, I'm gonna break it all up here. I don't like what I'm seeing from the offense right now of the Panthers. I haven't liked what I've seen from Cam Newton all season long. I read a great report over on Pro Football Talk where, in fact, right now, the Bears are actually happy that they're going to be faced up against Cam Newton and not up against Derek Anderson. They were actually worried that they were going to have to go up against the backup. Without D'Angelo Williams in the mix, I'm telling you right now, yeah, Matt Forte, he's going to have a breakout week one of these times. I'm expecting it. I need it for my fantasy team. Come on, Matt.
Man crush.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm calling Bears on this one, Chicago. So I'm going to step off the page.
And, step and off it, the cliff there,
make
Mike.
It little, make it look a little bit different on our board when I put it up at the end of the show. All right. Game number two. We got the 2-2 Atlanta Falcons who are traveling to New York against the 2-2 New York Giants. 1 o'clock game on Sunday. The Falcons last week got shocked by a rookie QB in Minnesota last week, 41-28, in a game where Matt Ryan did his perfect impression of Jay Cutler, going 25-41, 288 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Both Anton Davis and Steven Jackson rushed against the non-existent defense of the Vikings. Of course, let's get this one straight. The Atlanta Falcons had no defense either. Did you get the score? 41-28. The good Eli, the Super Bowl Eli, he showed up against the Washington Redskins last Thursday evening and throttled the Cousins-led Redskins 45-14. Giants put up 449 yards of offense, 300 in the air, 149 on the ground. Manning's flavor of the week last week, tight end Larry Donnell, that's a big fantasy who put up three touchdowns on 7 receptions. Many in Vegas right now must be thinking that the Giants have turned the corner on their horrible beginning to the season, as they are a 4-point favorite over the Falcons. And I'm going to start it off with Uncle Mark. Go ahead, Uncle Mark.
All right, here's what we got to look at. You always got to look at the numbers because I'm a numbers guy. I love the numbers. All time, both teams are 11-11. And the points against are 387 versus 390. Does this get any closer? This, to me, is one of those matchups. The last time these guys met was at Atlanta in December of 2012. And you know what it resulted in? A 34-0 loss to New York. But prior to that, let's look at the last meeting at New York, and that's where we're going this week. Well, I got news. That goes back to 2012. That was a playoff in which New York stomped them 24-2 in the playoff.
That's right.
Who has forgotten? I sure haven't. Now listen,
different team, man.
This Falcons team is not good on the road, historically and certainly evidently this year, because both of their losses have come that way. On the plus up, I got to go with Ben McAdoo, offensive coordinator, because I'll be honest, for the Giants, I wasn't sure this guy knew what he was doing. He was sort of Brady Hoke to me. But I'll be honest, apart from losing to the Lions and the Cardinals, this New York team is starting to click with 2 in a row. I think there's more uptick right now on the O side for New York than Matt Ryan. I'm going with the Giants at home.
How about that? Psychic.
Well, I need, big run-up score last week. What did Rashad Jennings get me? Very little. Thanks to some no-name tight end hack.
We've already heard about your team.
So, I know. Anywho, I'm going with the Giants. I need Jennings to have a good game this week.
Wow.
I'm going with the home team on this
one. Wow. Okay, this could get interesting if this trend continues. I am not sold on this Giants team one bit. This is blue smoke and mirrors, folks. They got lucky against a really bad Washington team that had a really good game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's get it straight. The Philadelphia Eagles played down. All right, that's what that was the week before. The Eagles should have kicked their tail. Washington stayed in the game because they played a really good game against the Eagles. Last week, that was an aberration, all right? It was a team that was coming off of a short week on a Thursday night, having to play after playing a tough game on Sunday against the Eagles. I'm not sold on this Giants team. I'm going with Atlanta. I have a little more confidence in the weapons that are around Matt Ryan. I'm picking Atlanta.
Yeah, because that running back core is killing it.
All right. Game number three, that's the Baltimore Ravens, 3-1, going to the Indianapolis Colts, who are 2-2. That's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Again, a 1 o'clock game. Now, as previously mentioned, the Ravens beat up on the Panthers 38-10, and all of the Joe Flacco fantasy owners were thrilled that they started him, as he went 22 of 31, 327 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 137.4 QB rating. Now, I want everybody to think about this one for a moment. Here's a stat I'm going to bet nobody's thought about or even heard about. Flacco right now has quietly, and I mean quietly, already thrown for over 1,000 yards in 4 games.
Is this a contract year?
Very good question. Yep.
Now, all the way around, the Ravens had a good game plan, mixing up all the passing. And he's been able to gain 127 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Now, meanwhile, the Colts, well, they were also part of blowout Sunday as they dismantled the Tennessee Titans 41-17. Andrew Luck, currently ranked the number one QB in the league in yards, was 29 of 41, 393 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, 123.3 QB rating. 9 different receivers were mixed into the game and saw passes from Luck, including touchdown receivers Reggie Wayne, Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener, and Ahmad Bradshaw. But the Colts, I'm going to be perfectly blunt with you, strike me as being a bit inconsistent from one week to the next. You can have a magnificent game like that, and then you can all of a sudden see them put up a stinker. With all the dominance, though, that we saw from this team last week, the Colts right now are just a 3.5-point favorite against the Ravens. Sidekick, where are we going?
Well, we're going with this is my bomb diggity bomb, as we have the new Baltimore team.
Yes, yes.
Coming in the home of the old Baltimore team.
Exactly.
Let's highlighting this matchup. I love when these guys play. Anyway, so I'm going down my list, and another home team. I'm going to go with the Colts to edge out the Ravens on this one. Being at home, no running game, and Flacco being, you know, Flacco.
Yep. I hear you on that one. Bomb diggity bomb goes to the Colts. Uncle Mark.
Yeah, Colts are 9-4 versus Baltimore all time. They played in the playoffs a couple times, but here's really what it comes down to. The Ravens cannot win at Indy. The Colts lost to Denver. They lost at home to Philadelphia. Two very good teams. I don't think I can say exactly the same on the other side. But to give the Ravens some backhand credit, the two wins that the Colts have had have been against Jacksonville and Tennessee, inner division, both terrible teams. This, Frat House Mike, you'll love because you're a numbers guy too. Andrew Luck leads the NFL with 1,300-plus passing yards and 13 touchdowns to date. I expect, like Sidekick said, Flacco to be Flacco. I'm riding the Colts.
Well, we're all in agreement. I'm going with the Colts on this one as well. Look, let's not forget something. Joe Flacco had a great game last week. That was first in four. Look at the previous three games. Their offense was completely completely nothing more than what came off of the foot of their kicker Justin Tucker, right? Tucker? But that's all they did. That's all they were able to produce. Field goals. 3 weeks in a row. Last week Flacco, not this week. As we pointed out, Luck is too strong, too big of a issue, and they're playing. They're playing in Indianapolis. Come on.
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, last game, Cincinnati Bengals, 3-0. 3-0 Cincinnati Bengals. At the New England Patriots, who are 2-2, and that's the 8:30 game Sunday night. Now, the Bengals right now are the only unbeaten AFC team and are coming off their early season bye from last week. When they last played, it was the trouncing of the Tennessee Titans 33-7 2 weeks ago. But how about this anomaly that Brandon and I talked about on our Red Zone Blitz program last Tuesday? Not last night, but last Tuesday. and that is that the Bengals are unbeaten, while, think about this one, Andy Dalton is ranked 25th in the league and has only thrown two touchdowns versus one interception in three games. Now, this Sunday matchup, Sunday night matchup, sets up a very, very interesting situation, in my opinion, for the New England team that was destroyed by the Chiefs 41-14 on Monday evening. And talk everywhere since then has been, what's wrong with the Patriots offense? What's wrong with Tom Brady? By nearing the end of the third quarter Monday night, the Patriots were down 27-0. And while Brady did get a TD late in the third, he was ultimately pulled in favor of rookie Jimmy Garoppolo. This is a must-win for the Patriots, who, while at home, will be going up against a rested Bengals team. Cincinnati is favored on the road by 1 point. I will remind everyone what Brandon brought up on our Red Zone Blitz program last night and what we have talked about here numerous times over the past number of years. Brady and Belichick don't generally lose two in a row. Has it ever happened? But maybe once. Uncle Mark, where are we going on this one?
Well, you know, here's what it comes down to. The Pats are 14 up and 9 down when they face this same club, okay? 14 at home, okay? The last time since he met, the Pats lost 13-6 in October of 13. But the last time that the Pats hosted, New England won big time. Although, yeah, it sounds like ancient history. It was 2010. Let's not forget, folks, we don't meet every year in the NFL. Now, the Bengals are 3-0, returning from a bye. And they can really put a clamp right now on the AFC North lead if they do get this win. They run the ball better. They stop the run better. Those are the two big differences. There are a lot of questions right now with New England, in my opinion, and I got to be honest, I'll say it. Tom Brady is not one of those questions to me. Those questions go a lot deeper to systemic issues and coaching. I have to contend, however, the fear factor of Foxborough is fading. The Bengals are going to win this one on the road.
Well, you know, I'm in the same, you know, as much as I, you know, can't stand the Patriots, I do agree with Brandon. You know, I mean, well, the stats speak for themselves. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I don't think there is any way that Brady and Belichick take that whooping that they got in Kansas City last week and drop this game to the Bengals.
If they do drop it, Logan Mankins, when they let him go, they gave it up.
If they lose this to the Bengals, I think you can write off the Patriots.
Yeah, Brandon and I kind of talked about that a little bit last evening on the Red Zone Blitz program, but before we even get to that point, I'm going to echo a lot of what you just said, Sidekick. We've sat here numerous times in the past number of years and talked about, you know, this whole two-in-a-row sort of situation. I agree with you. It's not just the issue of losing two-in-a-row. It's the manner in which they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday night. That is going to be one pissed-off team that's going to be playing in their own home field on Sunday night. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am not impressed. Have I ever been really with the Ginger Giant? But even more so, when I look down this record and see 3-0, and I see this guy throwing two touchdowns, seriously? Come on, cut me a break. No, New England is going to win this game. Let's watch this line move. I'm going to tell you, tomorrow is Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, Friday, the good money comes in at that point. Watch this line change. I predict this line is going to move by Friday to being a New England line. I'm going with New England.
One other thing to remember, the Patriots get former Legion of Boom member Brandon Browner back from suspension. So their secondary, which has already been improved this year, is going to get even better, making it harder.
Well, that would be a big help for them, for sure. All right, there's our football report for this week. And, again, let me throw a shout-out and a thanks to our friends Jim and Carl over at CLW83.com. Please get over to their website and check them out. I want to just recognize Major League Baseball here real quick, because we're into the playoffs right now. And what we've got going is we've got the wild card series is going. And last night we were treated, and I mean treated, for anybody that sat up and watched it, and I did all the way to the end, treated to the Oakland Athletics versus the Kansas City Royals in what you and I had originally deemed many seasons ago now, a couple of seasons ago, just one of the dumbest ideas ever, and that was the one-game playoff. But I got to tell you, it was riveting. Kansas City Royals made it to the postseason for the first time in 29 years. Fabulous, fabulous game. The Royals won it 9-8 in the 12th inning to advance to meet the Los Angeles Angels in the ALDS that I believe starts tomorrow. This evening we have the National League wildcard game between the San Francisco Giants and Pittsburgh Pirates. The winner here will go on and play the Washington Nationals, and we can only hope that we have as good a game here as we saw last night, considering it's only a one-game play. All right, now let's get over to our NASCAR report for this week. This week being week four of the chase. And our race report is brought to you by Herb FM Sports Radio down in Maryland, down in Baltimore, Maryland. Be sure to get over to Chris's website there, herbfm.com, and check out their sports program. Lots of sports programming right now as they're broadcasting live collegiate football and also some live collegiate ice hockey at this point. Before we jump into the full report as to what happened at Dover real quick, because I'm watching the clock over here and we're going to go, we're just about ready to roll over, and I don't want to roll over too far, but Tony Stewart held a much more extensive press conference this past week following the grand jury. After they came back one day and returned it, that there would be no charges filed against Tony Stewart with regard to the situation that occurred between he and Kevin Ward. Any comments on anything that you guys, my sports experts or my race experts, heard from Tony Stewart?
Well, you know, so, real quick, some of the things that stuck out, there was a couple questions about retirement. You know, he's basically said that he's reevaluating life and what he does, right. And that he's not going to reach out to the Ward family if they want to reach out to him. He's more than willing to, to sit down and talk with them, but he's not going to reach out to them.
It's evident to me from what I did read of it, that Tony is, I mean, this is really, this is not, he's not putting on a show. No. This is really, really, this has changed his life.
Yeah, I think he mentioned that he may be going back with sprint cars.
Yep.
And that, which is kind of sad in some respects. You know, we've been a little critical of him in his sprint car, you know, wanting to go out and race sprint cars with his, you know, breaking his leg last year and then what happened this year. But, you know, as an ambassador for the sport, I think it's good.
Right. I do, too. I agree.
But, you know.
All right. Chase race number three was at Dover International Speedway. That was the cut day for the chase, as following that, four drivers would be eliminated from the field of 16 down to a field of 12. And our winners at Dover, Jeff Gordon won the race. Brad Keselowski, I mean, the names, this is ridiculous because I'm reading off the same names, it seems like, every week. Brad Keselowski came in second. Jimmy Johnson came in third. Joey Logano came in fourth. Matt Kenseth came in fifth. And the chase cut turned out to be the four that were lopped off the bottom, and then taking it to the 12th, the four that were eliminated, A.J. Allmendinger, Aric Almirola, Greg Biffle, and Kurt Busch. And I'm sure, Uncle Mark, you're probably going to be getting into a little bit more on the whole grid situation and where it stands going into this next round of things on your Sunday program, I would suspect, yes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Big surprise, Kurt Busch, I think. Biggest.
You think that was the biggest of the cuts? Yeah.
Okay. I think that's the biggest surprise, too.
Yeah. Who were we all saying before we thought was going to be the one? We thought it was going to be Ryan Newman.
Casey Kane.
That's who we thought it was going to be. Yeah, that's right.
He was going to be the biggest name.
Right.
He made it.
Casey Kane did everything he should have from not only a competitor standpoint, in my opinion, but also from a crew standpoint. He raced at that cutoff like Clint Bowyer almost raced at Richmond this year, but of course he came in just under and didn't make the cut. All at once we saw the Casey Kane we were waiting for all year at that race, and they paid dividends.
Yep.
Good for him.
All right, we're heading to Kansas for Chase Race number 4, and we can catch this one at 2 p.m. Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. All right? Now, you don't have too many more weeks having to do this.
Yep.
You're hanging in there right at the top. So, let's hear it. Give us your picks for Chase Race number 4.
Well, you know, here's the thing. We're going to Kansas this week. I'm not tweaking this thing too much.
Yeah, I got
you. Know, ride the hot
I haven't
end.
Done it yet myself.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, there is one swap out. So, I'm still going to ride Kevin Harvick at $27.50. I'm still riding Brad Keselowski at $27. I'm subbing out Jimmy Johnson from last week with Jeff Gordon this week, $27.25. Jeff Gordon won the previous Kansas race, which is why we're making that switch. And then we're filling out the roster, David Reagan, $10.25, and, you know, my perpetual lucky dog, Landon Castle, at
right.
7.25.
And you're right. This is the time of year where, in fact, I didn't change my team one iota from the week before. And you're going to take a look at the leaderboard, and you're going to see that, hey, as a result of that, I'm now moved back up into the number 10 spot. But there you sit. Psychic Spoilers. It's perfect. I mean, we couldn't ask for anything better. The fantasy picks have been the number one pick in a league of 25. That's outstanding. Okay. That's our race report. Let me make sure. Is that that's what we're doing next? Is our race report brought to you by Herb FM? Yes. Okay. Yeah. I want to make sure of that. Many thanks again to Chris. Please get over herbfm.com. Check them out. While we're talking fantasy, though, real quick, we'll just throw it up there. We're only at week 4. And it's a 13-week season, so we've got another 9 weeks left, I believe. Or this is week 3. Yeah, this was week 4. So we got 9 weeks left. There's our standing 16 teams in our league. You can see how big this thing
is. I give you our champion!
As good as Sidekick has been over in NASCAR, ranked 15. Number 15.
Unnecessary roughness out of nowhere.
Number three, I'm number two.
But in the BS Big Show Blue Conference, I am undefeated 4-0.
There you go.
So,
holy nightmare.
Half the people talking here are 1 or 2 and 3, and the other half are 15 and 16. We got this covered.
Yep.
Top and bottom, as they say.
This will change. You can bet on that. A lot of fun. The fantasy league is
in. I'm already
trying. You can see it's a tough league. This is a tough league. Every single one, 16 people in there, all know their stuff. Trust me. We wouldn't have it any other way. All right, that's our report for this week. Now, let me get around real quick because this is all brand new to all of you. Yes, we're here tonight video-wise, again, for the first time in about 4 weeks. And we promise we're going to do that for you every 4 weeks. So 4 weeks from now, we'll be back to you video-wise. But really, where all of our effort is going right now is it's going over to our Frat House Sports Radio Network. 4 programs a week going on over there. 4, starting with our flagship program that you can get, and it'll be Thursday evening. You'll be able to hear this program tomorrow night over on Log Talk Radio at the Frat House Sports Radio Network, 7:00 every Thursday evening for the Frat House Sports Show with all of us. Saturday, I come back here at 2 p.m. for Frat House Saturday. 2 straight hours I go bringing you clips from all the good stuff that we've done on the Frat House Sports Radio Network all week long. Sunday, Uncle Mark comes to you at 11 a.m. with the Race Trim Motorsports Hour just before race time, just before NASCAR time, just before NHRA time. 1 hour you can catch that from 11 to 12 Eastern time over on Blog Talk Radio, 11 a.m. on Sunday. Tuesday, I'm coming back here at 7 p.m. for an all NFL, and it's all X's and O's. All we do is just sum up everything that went on the field from the past week of the NFL. So 7 p.m. Red Zone Blitz right here on the Fred Hill Sports Radio Network. Let me just see the next slide there real quick. This is our main site, our main page for the Blog Talk Radio. Here's what you need to do. This is our way. See that little follow button? You got to hit that. You hit that, you're going to get notified about every one of our programs via email. You'll get notified. All right? You don't have to even go to our Facebook page. But go to our Facebook page. There it is. And give that a like. Where's the like button on this? Well, I guess it doesn't have it because I've already liked it. But no, you got to get over there to Frat House Sports, right there, Frat House Sports over on Facebook. Please, get over there and give that a like, and please don't forget to our website at www.frathousesports.net. All right, there we go. Gentlemen, we got through a video production. How about that? Not too bad.
Easy peasy.
Not too bad. We got through a video show that you were going to be able to listen to. We'll be able to sit back and listen to it again tomorrow night over on Blog Talk Radio.
Yep.
Good time. We'll be back here with you just before Halloween doing one of these again. In the meantime, you know what you got to do for us? Same as he ever was. Keep us real. Keep us live. Keep us going. Oh, I do have that. Darn it, I forgot I had that up there.
What's that?
That's the football. Damn, I forgot I had it was in there.
Do you want to leave that there and just do like a fantasy update at the end?
Well, that's what I was planning on doing.
Okay. All right, cool.
I was going to say, in my notes, I was supposed to, but I didn't, was supposed to put, okay, since we're talking fantasy, let's go take a look at the football. Where the Fred Health
Quarter of the way through, yeah.
Yep. So.
Jim Williams. Number one.
I got to play Jim this week. So we got two 3-1 teams going at it. Somebody's coming out of this.
Yep. The three, you're tied at
3-1.
3-1. Okay, yeah. Flatula.
Dominators is up there at 3-1 too.
Flatula.
So if I lose, Dominators is going to take over.
And you're playing Jim.
I'm playing Jim. So one of us
is going down.
Yep.
I want to hear some trash talk out of you, Fred. Out, Mike.
All right, then we'll. This is the closing, so I'll run around and I'll wrap up the radio network and talk about the different things. And hey, folks, make sure you hit that follow button. That's what we got to get people to do.
Yeah, that's what we got to get you to do. You've just heard the audio version of the video production of the Fright House Sports Show number 160, which you're actually going to be able to see very shortly over on our YouTube channel at Frat House Sports. If you are a follower of YouTube, you go over to YouTube, look up Frat House Sports, find our channel, and give that a like, give that a follow, and you will see all of the videos that we've done over the vast number of years, 3 years, that we've been putting videos up over there. So you're going to be able to see this one shortly. It'll probably be up by tomorrow or so. And that's how we will do this. Don't get confused. We will be coming back to you right here live on the Frat House Sports Radio Network with our Frat House Sports number 160, and that will be live right here on Blog Talk Radio next Thursday evening. It will not be a video production. The next time that we do a video will be on October 28, and that will air here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry, October 29, and that will air here on October 30th, just before Halloween. All right, so, I mean, hopefully that clears up any confusions that you all have, but here's the best thing to do if you're listening in right now. The best thing to do, as I pointed out before, just make sure that you go to our channel here on Blog Talk Radio and click that follow button. All right, there you go. Real quick, I'll bring you up to date. The American League, Divisional Series, rather. Game one, we've got the Baltimore Orioles hosting right now
they are, excuse me, they are up 4-2. J.J. Hardy just hit a solo home run, and they are now up in that game 4-2. And following that, immediately over, you can catch it over on TBS if you wish. You will have the Kansas City Royals, who are the wild card team, and they will be visiting out to the Los Angeles Angels, and that game comes up at 9 o'clock. Don't forget as well, we do have Thursday Night Football coming up, and we've got the Minnesota Vikings without a quarterback. I mean, let's get this one straight. Christian Ponder is starting this evening for a hobbled Teddy Bridgewater, who had a tremendous, terrific debut, full game debut last week, and in winning his first game, first full game in the NFL. Minnesota is going to Green Bay. Green Bay as well had a terrific victory last week, kind of a resurgent victory. Last I saw on this one, Green Bay is almost a 9-point favorite as we go to game time, and I would suspect that that line hasn't moved a heck of a lot with the announcement that, in fact, Teddy Bridgewater will not be playing and that Christian Ponder will be coming in. So God knows what we're going to see here. If, in fact, you've got fantasy players on the Green Bay side, I would make sure that you think about whomever you got, put them in the game for sure, because I have a funny feeling that Green Bay is going to walk all over this one. I took Green Bay in my head-to-head pool, and I also took them in the spread pool. So I am taking Green Bay with the 9 points. So anyhow, there you go. There's our Frat House Sports show number 160 for this week. And I thank you all for tuning in. What I would ask you to do for us this week is to spread the word. Get a couple of friends to like us. Make sure you're following our program here. Make sure you're following us over on Facebook. Make sure you're following us over on YouTube. And that way, you've got it completely triangulated. You can't miss a darn thing if you do those three things. Follow us here, follow us on Facebook, and follow us on YouTube. And guess what? You're never going to miss a thing. There you go. And then while you're at that, get me one or two of your friends to do the same. If you're sports friends, sports fans at all, then you want to be following right here with us at Frat House Sports. That's what we do all the time, 24/7. That's all I do. All right, there you go. You can catch me here back on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for 2 p.m. Eastern time for a relaxed Frat House Saturday afternoon. And I wish you well this evening. Enjoy your sports. Take care.